Hi there, my name is Jamie Mackay and I lead the Postgraduate Learning and Teaching programmes at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. The following podcast is part of a series of interviews with graduates of the part-time M.Ed in Learning and Teaching in the Arts programme. This programme is delivered on a blended learning model but can also be studied fully remotely. All participants on the programme have a role as an arts educator and the programme is designed to help them develop their teaching practice and their arts practice, and it culminates in a self-designed final project. For more information on the programme, check the website on rcs.ac.uk/med. In this podcast, I'm very pleased to be speaking to Tracy Hawkes. After an early career as a professional contemporary and ballet dancer, Tracy became the artistic director of Dance for All Edinburgh, one of Scotland's foremost performance dance and dance teacher education colleges, alongside being a life registered teacher member of the Royal Academy of Dance. Tracy is the only Spanish Dance Society qualified tutor in Scotland. So, could you introduce yourself and say a little about your current role as an arts educator?
I'm Tracy Hawkes. I am a ballet and Spanish dance educator. I've been teaching ballet particularly for nearly 40 years now, and I run Dance for All College and School in Edinburgh, where I train full-time dance students alongside all my pupils and adult classes. And yes, and I've just recently completed my master's in education.
Thank you very much. So when you're working with learners, what is your goal?
My goal is to facilitate potential in all my pupils and students, to allow them to achieve their goals, that whatever those may be. We have very much individual kinds of dancers, not trying to train or educate any dancers to be a certain type. My students very much were trying to enable them to be as employable as possible, if that's the career that they want to go into as a dance career, whether it's as a performer or a teacher themselves. And it's also to allow them to develop holistically as complete human beings. So even if they don't go into dance as a career, with full-time students, that they have very transferable skills and that they are confident and fully rounded humans.
Thank you. So what barriers get in the way of achieving these goals?
Mindsets, student mindsets, particularly that's often find dancers who have been perhaps sort of amongst the top of their in their previous schools or colleges will come and have quite a fixed mindset about their abilities and don't particularly want to expand or progress that. I find that more so with the ones who are more capable, who have always been told that they are good and strong. And in a lot of cases, they can be, yes, quite fixed about what they want to do and how they do it. And that can be quite a barrier. Whereas those who've had a little bit more of a struggle and, have not always been amongst the top ranking, they often have more drive and more, more ability to sort of see where their strengths and weaknesses are and see where they need to sort of work hard and progress. And can often bypass the ones who have the sort of fixed approach.
So what strategies do you use to help you achieve that goal and deal with that barrier?
I think try very hard with one-to-one tutorials to try and discuss these issues, and to in class I like to sort of get the students to feedback to each other when they're watching, particularly if they're doing a choreography or something we're working on, and to observe each other and to try and get them to see themselves, how the other students are working and how their approaches can be so beneficial if they are, and how they're taking on feedback, or what it is about each other that can stand out. So it's not always, I think often the other students can sometimes see, I'm having a bit of that just now, where other students can see the good students who stand center front and, you know, we seem to get featured in the choreographies, etc., that can be difficult for them to cope with. And so very much like to myself to pick out is my word, but to highlight, spotlight any of the students that are achieving and or responding to choreographer or teacher feedback in the most positive way, and to make that not just for success for the student themselves, but for the others around them that can see that, see that effect that their mindset and their approach has on their own progress.
Thank you. So how do you measure your success as an arts educator?
I think we just had an open day this week, for example, and I think nearly all the people that attended, bar maybe a handful, had come through word of mouth, through previous graduates who are either out there performing and they were colleagues or fellow pupils at their previous schools, or have gone out themselves over the last 20 years and opened their own dance schools and are sending potential students to me. That in itself is just extremely heartwarming, extremely sort of lovely that, you know, get this sort of next generations who are sent along. You know, we're not a massive college and we don't do a massive amount of hype and social media hype, etc. And I would say the vast majority do come through that. And I think that in itself is a great measure of success, alongside obviously our graduates achieving their goals. I mean, very, very few of them don't go into dance as a profession, very few. And that is, again, immensely rewarding. So I would say those two things highlight for me.
Thanks, Tracy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how would you describe the ideal relationship between you and your learner?
I think mutual respect. I would never want a student to be scared of me, or you know, but also be respect, you know, both very respectful of each other, and I think if a student is wanting to learn from me, and I, you know, and I'm wanting to give, you know, give all my knowledge and experience to that student, you can't really ask for anything more. You don't necessarily have to like each other, that intensely. But I think if there is, that mutual willingness to take and give from each other, everything that you can, in that context, that's all I can ask for. I mean, it's lovely if you can get a good relationship going, you know, in sort of personality wise things as well. That's great. But if someone, my students, listen and take what I want to give them on board and do with it what they want, what they will, according to their own personal needs and things, then that's all I can sort of ask. Again, just having that growth mindset to sort of take everything and see how it can benefit them.
Okay. What job title are you most comfortable with?
Yes, I do get quite a few different versions of my job title, as I'm sort of, you know, my own boss, as it were. So I think most comfortable would be, I don't like principal. That often gets sort of put down, the principal employees. I don't like that. That sounds extremely sort of a bit archaic and a bit sort of authoritative. So I think artistic dance director, those sort of, I feel like I am directing people in different directions and artistically and creatively. So those artistic creative director.
Yeah.
That's what, yes.
Thanks, Tracy. So what three values are central to your practice then as an arts educator?
Three values. I would say, I think I would say trust and respect and the ability to grow myself as an arts educator, continually be open to growing.
Great. Thank you. Takes a wee shift here. Going to ask slightly different type of question. So if you could have a mentor from any time in history, real or fictional, to support your arts education practice, who would you choose?
I look back on my teachers back, particularly at Elmhurst. I mean, this was back in the 70s, obviously. Dance education has moved on a lot. But I remember one particular teacher, Alan Carter, who, for some reason, he saw a lot of things in me I didn't realise at the time. And he kept making me do stuff that was just a bit off, you know, just really unusual things. Like he would suddenly say, we need someone to operate the lights. Something, do you want to come up and do the lighting board? And I'm like, what? Listen, he'd sort of, yeah, just make me go up and do that. And I'd be absolutely petrified doing this. But afterwards, go, oh, that was great. And there's sorts of things like that. And so I think he was quite a particular man, but it was obviously very, very, he could sort of see things in people that, or perhaps where people had a lot of young dancers had a lot of potential, a lot of scope, but perhaps were just a bit frightened of trying things. And so that was somebody who I've always thought of. I only had him as a teacher for about 18 months or something. But yes, it would have been interesting to go back. I always thought, I'm like, go back one day, and I never got the opportunity to talk to him again and ask him particularly what it was that, you know, he gave me opportunities that I didn't normally get there, because I wasn't, again, sort of top ranking group. And yeah, and another teacher, Felicity Gray, as well, who she was interesting, really, really interesting woman. And she whisked me off to an acupuncturist. And this is in the mid-70s, when I'd been having shin splints for ages and was absolutely almost on the verge of thinking I was going to give up ballet. And all of a sudden, she just one day said, right, here we go, I'm going taking you off. And this was at boarding school. She whisked me off to this acupuncturist, and that, who cured my shin splints in one go. And I sort of think, gosh, she was a really interesting woman. She used to do ballet programs on telly way back in the sort of 50s and things. So yes, I would love to talk to them again.
And okay. Yeah. So if you could ask them a question, what would you ask them?
I would ask them what motivated them as teachers. How did they approach teaching all the individual students? What was it that drew them to students, that allowed them to, what was it in them that gave them that ability to, you know, zero in on students' kind of needs?
And how do you think they would respond?
I don't know if they would respond particularly in any particular sort of analytical way about it. I think they would probably just say, it's just instinctively what they did. I mean, again, we're talking about education, particularly ballet, back then. It was just perhaps the fact that they just loved ballet so much, and that was their need to, instinctive response to pass that on to, again, students who were willing to soak up what they had to offer.
Thanks, Tracy. So finally, is there anything else you'd like to say about your arts education practice?
I think I would like to say that I'm quite surprised at this sort of time in my career, which, you know, sort of the twilight of my career, to have become so enthused and sort of rejuvenated, I think, by my recent work and research and think that it's just, I feel very, I suppose I feel quite privileged that I can get to this stage where, you know, I might be getting a little bit sort of jaded or stale after so many years, and thinking, you know, oh, can't wait to retire or just begin to slow down. And now I feel like, with all the shifts in recent society and things, all the things that, you know, ballet has been slow to react to, I feel like I can effect some changes. And I think that's great. I never expected that I would be able to feel that I still had a lot to offer, continue on, whether I actually cut back on teaching quite extensively or not. I feel like I have a chance and a great sort of privilege to be able to do that, and not sort of just retire and feel like, oh, we'll just let the young ones take over. I can hopefully have a a hand in them shifting attitudes and, you know, effecting some positive changes for the ones that will be eventually taking on from me. So that's how I feel at the moment.
Tracy, thank you so much for answering the questions. I've really enjoyed your answers and some rich responses there. And I know that our listeners will very much enjoy them as well. So thank you for taking the time out this morning.
It's a pleasure.
For more podcasts in this series, go to portal.rcs.ac.uk/arts-educator-interviews.